I'm telling you, Jesus is your foundation is a can't lose situation. It's a win situation if you will base your life, everything in your life, on the foundation of Jesus Christ. By the way, the Bible says He's our cornerstone as well. He's the one we should line up with. He's the one who we should follow, and He's our guide. And I'm telling you, there's no greater foundation than Jesus Christ. He is a foundation that cannot be shaken. And when the world shakes and your life is shakes, and God doesn't. And so, encourage you. What a great song this morning. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles this morning to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. And a few years back, about 4 years back, we preached this on a Wednesday night. And I want to bring some truths out. We may carry this on through to do two or three sermons on Sunday morning on Psalm 139. It's a wonderful, wonderful chapter. Remembering that the book of Psalms is a book of songs, that the book of Psalm is a songbook for Israel. So in front of you, underneath the chair, is a hymn book that we don't use anymore. But as long as I'm pastor here, there's still going to be hymn books right under there. If you want to pull one out and you want to read the notes and follow the notes, you're more than welcome. That's why our song leaders still say, turn to hymn number. And they will always say that as long as I'm here, unless the particular song we're singing, like we sang that one a moment ago, The Blood of Jesus Speaks for Me. By the way, that's a tremendous, tremendous song. It's a newer hymn, but amazing, amazing message in that song. And so it's one of those songs too. We've sang enough now. Some of you've got it memorized. It's a great, great song. But anyway, in front of you in your chair, there'll be a hymn book there. That is our hymn book. And the book of Psalm is Israel's hymn book. And so when they went to the temple, they sang songs out of the Psalms. When they were practicing, when they went to the temple, when they were at home, they sang these songs. Many of these particular psalms are historical in nature, and they trace the history of Israel. Some of them are praise songs. Some of them are thanksgiving songs. And so, but again, these are the songbook of Israel. In Psalm 139, we have one of the greatest, considered one of the greatest hymns in the Bible, one of the greatest psalms in the Bible. And I would say top five in my book. And there are some great ones in the Bible, Psalm 23 and Psalm 1 and so many others. In this particular psalm, God is referred to 36 times. 36 times. And this particular psalm, the main message is that God does indeed care for you. And God cares for us. And the reason why we know that is because God is omniscient in that He knows everything. He is all-knowing. We see this in the first six verses, which we're going to cover this morning. This psalm, again, to me, can be negative to a certain extent. And let's read it and I'll show you. Psalm 139. Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsettings and my uprisings. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. It is important when you think about the first six verses to know who wrote this psalm, and it's King David. David wrote the song. Now think about verse 6 again. He says, all of this knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, as we look into Your Word, may we be reminded of Your care. May we be reminded that You do know. That You do know what we're going through, that You know the day in which we live. You know us individually. You are a personal God. May that come to light this morning in a greater way. I do praise You and thank You, Lord, that this thought, as David said, is too high for me. In Jesus' name, amen. As you read the first six verses, you could take this in a negative light. Some of you automatically go to the negativity. I don't want to say who those are. Those of you who say you're a realist, realists are just Anyway. But you'll notice in verse 6, David is taking this in a positive manner. He is taking this in a positive manner. When you think about that God knows us, and then he goes on to say that God knows our thoughts, that could be scary. That could be a negative on our part, thinking that God knows everything we've ever said. And if we look at it in that light, it can become, again, a negative. But that's not what David did. David looked at this, and it was a positive. He said, these thoughts are way too high for me. That God would condescend in such a fashion to know my every thought, to know my every words that I've ever said, that God takes personal interest in me. I'm thankful this morning we serve a personal God.
Amen.
And yes, he loves the world, but when he loves the world, he loves me. He knows my name. 8 billion people on the planet, he knows my name. 8 billion people on the planet, and the Bible says he knows the numbers of hair on my head, which is getting less and less, Stefan. I don't even have to bend down anymore. You can see it without me bending down. Used to I'd bend down like this so I could blind all of you. It used to make a Y, and one of our former members used to think that was for the New York Yankees, but... But God knows the numbers of hair on your head. You believe that?
Yes.
I believe it. That's what the Bible says. I mean, if he knows every name of every star, but he knows me individually. He knows you. He knows your name. He knows your circumstance today. He knows what you're going through. He knows your thoughts. He knows every word you've ever said. No matter what we're going through or what's going on in our lives, if there's a feeling of darkness or of hopelessness, he knows. If there's a feeling of worry and fear, he knows that. There's a wonder of when life's going to get back to normal, God knows that. There's assurance in knowing and feeling, and the feeling that he knows me. And that he knows me individually, and that he knows exactly what I'm going through. I know y'all, some of you been around here a long time, this quote comes to light about every other month, but it's still my favorite quote. It's by A.W. Tozer. What you think about God is the most important thing about you. It's so true. What you think about God is the most important thing about you. When you do face difficulty, when you do face adversity, what you think about God is the most important thing about you. Is your God big enough to handle the adversity that's in your life? Is your God big enough to handle, again, that detour that has abounded in your life? And the answer is yes. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing that my God can't do. Our God is so big. He knows everything. And he knows it effortlessly. You know, it's amazing to me. I can study and learn a particular subject. And this morning I was teaching the young adult class, and it's right across the way from my office. And there was something that I wanted to find. And I said, you know what? 2 seconds. And I ran to my office and got a book and came back to the classroom. I said, I want to show you this. And even though I've studied and studied and studied, I never get to the end. And it takes a lot of effort. In fact, it takes more effort, as Brother Stone has said, as I'm getting older. It takes a little more effort to remember everything that I studied and everything that I have collected. And nobody? I thought there would be like 10 amens and 20 amens. Preacher, I wish you'd remember more stuff. And as life becomes more complicated, it's difficult to remember. But it takes a lot of effort to study a subject and to do, even with YouTube. YouTube's made it a lot easier. But it still takes a lot of effort. Do you understand that God knows everything? Everything. He knows everything about science. He knows everything about computers. He knows everything about everything. He knows everything about everything.
Amen.
Effortlessly. effortlessly. He is omniscient. He knows it all. As we look at this, we know that in verse 1, we know that God knows us individually. Each person, he says there, God, thou hast searched me and known me. Think about King David as he's writing this. God, thou hast searched me. That means to pierce through. It means, it's kind of that expression we use that we see right through a person. God sees right through a person. And though we believe, though for us that's poetical, can I say for God, that's reality. God can see right through you.
Amen.
I can only, you know, guess what you're thinking. God knows every thought that you have. Every thought that you have. That word search there means like searching for treasure. God has searched us. Can I tell you this morning, God finds you valuable, that you're valuable to God? I don't care if somebody, if you think that you're worthless and you think that your family thinks you're worthless and you think maybe your husband or wife thinks you're worthless. Can I tell you that God finds you valuable? That you're valuable to God. God loves you this morning. Again, He knows you. He searched you. He knows me. It's imagine that word known me. Thou hast known me. That means He knows all that has ever happened to me. He knows everything that's happening to me right now. He knows what will happen to me. It's hard for our little finite minds to comprehend that God is outside of time. And that God sees the beginning from the end. There used to be cabooses on trains. Then they did away with them. Brother Matt. But used to, you couldn't, you know, if you saw the front of the train, you necessarily couldn't see the caboose. But can I tell you that God sees the engine and the caboose. He sees it all at the same time.
Right.
If you could take a train and it's going down the rails, and it's, you know, going down the rails, and you could take a helicopter and go above the train and look down on the train, you can see where the train's headed, where it's been, and where it's going, right? That's the way God sees us. It's hard for us to comprehend that. But when He says, He's known me, He knows me. It means He knows whatever has happened in my life. He knows what is happening, and He knows what's going to happen. He knows what lies beyond the bend. Some of these newer cars, when you turn the light, when you turn the steering wheel at night, the lights turn just a little bit, and they think that's going to help you. Well, you still can't see around the corner. But God can. God can see around the corner. He knows what's going to happen to you a year from now. He knows where you're going to be 10 years from now. And He knows each person, all 8 billion. God is omniscient. He's all-knowing, yet He's personal. He knows every action. Look at verse 2. Thou knowest my downsittings and my uprightings. Thou understandest my thoughts. He knows our downsittings. He knows when we're down, when we're up. He knows where we're at. He knows our activities of the day. He knows when we're sitting or when we're sleeping. He knows when we're getting up. He knows the good and the bad about our day. He knows every movement that we make. And here's the thing. He's interested.
Yeah.
That's the key to this. That's why David says, Lord, this thought is too high for me. He knows every step you take. He knows every thought, but this is the scary one, right? Verse 2 again, it says, Thou understandest my thought afar off. He knows every thought. He alone has this ability. Thou knowest my thoughts. Thou. He's the only one who has this knowledge. Twice in the Gospels, in the New Testament, we won't turn there for lack of time, but Matthew 12, 25, Jesus knew their thoughts. Understand that. Jesus Christ, while on earth, did not lay aside His deity. When Jesus was on earth, He was still all-knowing. By the way, according to John 3:3, He was still everywhere present at the same time. Well, He had a body. He couldn't be present. Well, the Bible says He was in heaven and on earth at the same time. He was all-knowing. He read their thoughts. Twice in the Gospels, He says He read their thoughts. He knew their thoughts. The only man who ever lived, the only person who's ever lived who could read the thoughts of another. I don't care what science fiction thing you've been watching or what machine you think. No. He's the only one who knew their thoughts. God knows your thoughts this morning.
Amen.
He knows the good and the bad. He knows every thought that's ever entered our head. Ezekiel 11:3, you can look it up later, says he knows the secrets of your heart. He knows the secret thoughts. Ouch. That's the one that kind of gets me. He knows me. There's things I can hide from y'all. There's things I can hide from my spouse. But God knows it all.
Amen.
And what? But that's the negative part of it, maybe. Right? But now David's taking this from a positive angle. He's saying God knows me, and yet, what? He loves me. In other words, God knows every thought I've ever had, and yet he still sent his son, Jesus Christ, in this world to die for my sins, to be buried and rise again from the dead that I might have eternal life. Even though I'm a rebel at heart, even though I have secret things that no way I would want anybody else to know, but God knows those and he loves me anyway. I love the unconditional love of God, don't you? I love that. I love that. God loves us in spite of us. Not only does he love us, he blesses us. Think about that for a moment. Think about some of the things you have done or some of the thoughts you've had, and yet not only does God love you, but he blesses you. Not only that, he cares for you. You ever had one of your children do something that just really... Did you have a friend who did something to you that caused you great pain and whatever, and your attitude and your feelings towards them changed? Hello?
Yeah.
And you find it hard to forgive and hard to do those... Can you understand that God's forgiven you for everything you've ever done?
Yeah.
Ever thought you've ever had? That's amazing. And that's why David's saying, Lord, that thought is too high for me. Lord, I can't comprehend that kind of love. I can't comprehend that kind of care. I can't comprehend that kind of blessing. King David, who had committed murder. King David, who had committed adultery. King David, who had done multiple things, and yet God still cared and God still blessed him. God was still there. Verse 3 says he knows every step that we take. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. He knows when we leave for the day. He knows when we leave the house. He knows every step we take from the cradle to the grave. He knows everything about us. He's there in the good times and the bad times. He knows every word I've ever spoken. Verse 4. This is a tough one. For there is not a word in my mouth or in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. You understand and know that the men speak 10,000 words or 12,000 words a day. And women speak 24,000 words a day. God knows every word that you've spoken. That's the average. The average male speaks 12,000 words a day. Average female speaks 24,000 words a day. It makes sense, doesn't it, men? Y'all all so quiet because you don't want your wife to beat you up when we go home. I always tell ladies when we're doing family counseling or marriage counseling, I say, listen, what happens is he spoke his 12,000 words at work. And when he comes home, he's done. And so I always look at the man and I go, you have to make the effort to say more words than, And yeah, and I know. And what I love it, men, women, the ladies will ask us, what did y'all do? What did you do today? Nothing. What are you thinking about? Nothing. And we really mean it. It's true, ladies, you just don't know. God knows. God knows every word you've ever spoken. And by the way, men, it is up to us to take the effort to speak to our wives once we get home, even though we've spoken our 12,000 words already, and actually communicate. Number one need of a woman, communication. Communication, spending that time, encouraging your marriage this morning. But we forget most of our words, but God never forgets. I need to move on. I love verse 5. He surrounds me. Notice what it says. For there thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. He's camped in front of me. He's camped behind me. In other words, he's hemmed me in. He's protecting me. Amen? He's protecting me. He's fenced me in. We pray that prayer sometimes. Lord, don't remove the hedge. Lord, put a hedge about them. That's a biblical term. It's found in the book of Job. When God removed the hedge of protection around Job. Can you understand that? We want that hedge of protection. And God besets us before and behind. He's protecting us. What a great thought. David says, I can't comprehend that thought. This goes along with Psalm 8 when he says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? When King David said in Psalm 8, what is man that thou art mindful of? When I consider the sun, the moon, the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visit him? David was just blown away that God would think about him. God protects us. Lastly, and this is a great and wonderful truth, instead of David being afraid of what he just said or being in fear, in verse 6 he says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Too wonderful for me. Too wonderful for me? Think about it. Again, God cares for you individually. It's a truth hard to be understood. Because our finite minds cannot comprehend an infinite God. I can't know everything. I can't even know everything about one subject. I've studied this a long time. I had to leave the classroom and go to my office and grab a book. I can't know it all. Can you understand God knows it all?
Amen.
He knows everything and does so effortlessly. He knows your downsittings. He knows your uprisings. He knows everything about you. He knows every thought you've had. He knows every word that you've ever said. He knows everything about you, and yet he cares for you. He cares for me. He's besetting me behind and in front. He's got his hand on me. He's protecting me. Just as we protect our children, so God is protecting us. Just as we love our children, and I would say most parents do love them unconditionally. No matter what they've said, no matter what they've done, we are to love our children unconditionally. Doesn't mean we accept what they did, but we're to love them. I'm thankful God loves me. Every step I take, every word that I say, and yet loves me, surrounds me. Can I tell you that understanding his omniscience helps us to live a Christian life? It's kind of a warning. Hey, beep, 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 beep. God knows what you just said. God knows that thought you just had. Hello? We are to live in light of Jesus Christ sitting right beside us, Jesus Christ knowing everything about us. But more so than that, what David ponders and what he says is too wonderful for him is that the thought of these things helps us trust God more, because he does know your name. He does know your thoughts. He does know the circumstance you're facing today. He knows that fear in your life. He knows that doubt in your life. He knows that financial situation. And yet he's beset you behind. He's beset you in front. He has his hand on you, protecting you. Helps us to trust him more. What you think about God is the most important thing about you. And can I tell you, he's bigger than your problems. He's bigger than your problems. Let's all stand.